Thank you so much for joining us for this crash course in Hilchos Yichud. Be'ezus Hashem, we are going to present what would be considered an introduction to Hilchos Yichud with practical applications for dating, for babysitting, and for professional circumstances. And I want to just add a little bit of a background as far as the concept of Yichud. When we think of Yichud, we think of an Isser with a Halachos, which we're going to focus on, but it's also important to realize why Chazal instituted the halacha of Yichud, and that is because Atem Tiyu Li Mamlechas Kani V'Goy Kadosh. How do we become a Goy Kadosh? Well, we know what the mitzvah of Kadoshim Tiyu is, Shetiyu Prushim and Harayis. So we're an exalted people if the individuals of that make up Klai Yisrael are themselves exalted. It is actually a fabulous gra on Avos. The gra says that when a person's in the midst of an Avera, it's nearly impossible to be misgaber on a Yetzirah. That's what the Gra writes. The only thing that a person could do is avoid being near the Avera. So if you're on the edge of a cliff, it's very difficult to avoid falling off the cliff. The Avoda is to stay away from the edge. Obviously, when we're talking about a danger, it depends how steep the cliff is. So when you're talking about the potential of Gili Arayos as one of the Aharei Valyavar, we can understand that's so important for everybody to have a gedder to avoid any possibility of coming to the Isser. If I could just ask, there's a sound coming from the next room, if the sound could be lowered in the next room. Okay, so let's try to give a definition of Yichud. Yichud does not mean what we always think, that a man and woman locked in a room. Yichud is any state of seclusion. In other words, if you're in the prairies of Kentucky, the prairies of Kansas, wide open cornfield, not corn, corn is high, a wide open wheat field, and there's a man and woman standing in the middle of a wheat field that are visible from 5 miles away, but there's no one for 6 miles away, no one can see them. That would be Yichud. For that reason, the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Daled Amud Aleph, says Tomer Devora sat tachas Tomer Devora. Why did she sit under a palm tree? Because of, says the Gemara Megillah, because palm tree has high leaves, so it's not going to be covering Devora when she speaks to men, as she was a shofetes. What you see from that Gemara is that we apply the din of Yichud in a situation, even if it's out in the open. Now, there's a lot of lomdas which we're not really going to go into, whether Yichud is a siyag del raiso, or it's an independent iser. That's a lamdasha shir, not for now. But I want to go through the history of Yichud. There are three very definitive stages in the history of Yichud, starting with, is Yichud midaraiso or derabbanan? So the Gemara says explicitly that Yichud is daraisa. Where is it in the psukim? If you look through Chumash, you're never going to find it. However, there's a pasuk that says that when a person is a mesis, and his mesis, ki yisischa achicha benimecha, o bincha bitcha, etc. Baseser and leimar, let's go do avodah zara. So we learn, Chazal learned somehow from that pasuk, what's the lima, the achronim, figure out what the lima is, not clear, that if a person is beseser, then with certain people, that's going to be permitted. Anyone else other than those people, besides the people mentioned in the pasuk, which is your sister, or your child, or your wife, anyone else will be Yichud. That's going to be Yichud midaraisa. So if you look, though, at the Rambam says, Isser Yichud ha'arayis mipi Kabbalah. Right? So the Rambam's mashal, it's only drabbanan, maybe a high-level drabbanan. And the Rambam says that if you're misyachid, if a man is misyachid with a woman, makan eshnehem makas mardus. So it sounds to the Rambam that Yichud is only drabbanan. But all the other Rishonim disagree. The Gemara says explicitly, as we'll see. Of course, the Rambam learned the Gemara differently, but the Gemara says explicitly that it's going to be Daraisa, and I'll tell you where the Gemara says that it is Daraisa. The Gemara brings a story of Shmuel. I'm sorry, of David. David has a son named Amnon. Amnon was in love with his stepsister, sort of, Tamar. And Tamar was unmarried. And Amnon fell in love with her and became lovesick for her. His friend asked Amnon, why do you look so sad and depressed? And he says, well, I'm in love with my stepsister, sort of. And this friend said, why don't you pretend that you're sick and you'll have Tamar come and serve you. And that's exactly what she did. And when she came in, her sort of stepbrother, Amnon, raped her. And ultimately, Avshalom was killed Amnon for doing that, but because it was Avshalom's sister, right? Amnon was a stepbrother to Tamar, but Avshalom was her brother. So what happened was Chazal at that time, the time of David HaMelech, the Gozra based Medrash Shel David, and they said the following Kavachom Libnos Malachim Kach, Libnos Ed Yoto Salachas Kama Vakama. Im Litznuos Kach, Liprusos Salachas Kama Vakama. Ba'osa Shah Gozra Al HaYichud, asks the Gemara, what do you mean Ba'osa Shah Gozra Al HaYichud? In fact, the Gemara, what do you mean? Yichud is Daraisahu. And it quotes the Pasuk that we mentioned a minute ago. Says the Gemara, oh, mi daraisa yichud is only aser, says the Gemara in Sanhedrin Chaf Aleph, mi daraisa yichud is only aser for one of the arayos. However, at that moment, they were gozer on yichud of a penuya, because Tamar was a penuya, and they said, if it could happen to a tznua like Tamar, if it could happen to a bas melech like Tamar, certainly could happen to any Jewish woman, as ksheira as she might be, and therefore, there's two levels of yichud. Yichud darais is on any of the ervos, on any of the arayos. Yichud midrabanan will be gzera of David Hamelech's based in on a pnuya. When I say pnuya, I mean a pnuya who's not any of the arayos. There was a third stage a little bit later in history. Talmidei Hillel v'Shamai gozu al yichud shel goya. So yichud with a non-Jewish woman, that would be midrabanan. A later drabbanon from the time of course, from the Tanaim, but from the time of Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai. So we have three stages. Now, what you have when you think of yichud, you have something that's a little bit interesting because if we assume that it's midaraisa, Sam, give me a minute. If we assume that yichud is midaraisa, how could that be? Isn't yichud just a geder that you don't come to do an issa daraisa? Right? The yichud midaraisa is with an erva. So isn't it just yichud just a geder that you don't come to do the issa daraisa of gidarais with that erva? So we actually find, Rav Avadia points out, seven different places where we find the construct of a gzera midaraisa. Can anyone think of a gzera midaraisa? Correct. Lo sikravu legalos ervo. That's the issur of negia. That's one. Yeah. What do you say, Tovia? Erev Pesach. Midaraisa. Well, lo sizbach al chametz tams. That you can't have chametz already at the time of the korban pesach. It might be it didn't korban pesach. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah. By Rabbi Matzah is a gzera to the issur of karis of achila. So the Rambam says the Isser of Netira is a gzera midaraisa otu nekima, right? Netira is just bearing a grudge, saying, oh, I wouldn't do it to you, even though you did it to me. That's just, but nekima is if you actually don't, if you actually are violating lo sikam. There's a Kesef Mishnah. The Kesef Mishnah says that Bishul Basu V'Chalav is a gzera midaraisa otu achilas Basu V'Chalav. There's a Rashbam that says by the Isser daraisa of owning faulty weights. Lo yeh beischa even va'oven. So why is it also to own weights? Says the Rashbam, it's a gzeru daraisa otu, you'll come to measure and steal with false weights. And then there's another one that I think some of you should be able to think of. I'll give you a hint, it has to do with wine. And that's not daraisa. I mean, Yain Nesach is also Daraisa, that's not a Gzera to anything. For Nazir is not allowed to drink, the Pasuk says, Chometz Yain, Mishras Anavim, water that's soaking, that has grapes soaking in it. It's not wine, it's just water that has grapes soaking in it. It's a Gzera Daraisa, the Medrash says, Ato Nazir, drinking wine. And finally, Rabbi Avadia points out, you have Chatzishir. Chatzishir Asumi Daraisa. Chatzishir is itself a Gzera Daraisa. Okay, so it's very possible that you have an Issa Daraisa called Yichud, and the Issa Daraisa might be that Yichud is itself an Isser, or maybe it's that Yichud is also that it might come to something which is worse, but it still could be Daraisa. So whether you hold that Yichud is something also b'fnei atzmo, it's only a gedder, either way, it could still be Daraisa. Fine. Now, we have to now determine if we said that Yichud is potentially midaraisa, if it's with one of the arayos. We have to know, now keep in mind, one of the arayos is Eishes Ish. So an Eishes Ish with a plumber would be Yichud Midaraisa. But there are some cases where Yichud might only be Drabbanan. And the following point is something that Tosis says, give me 1 minute, Sam, and then I'll come to you. I'm sorry. I said that before, but I mean, hopefully I have to make one more point. Tosus says that yichud midoraisa is only when you have one man with one woman. We're going to see in a few minutes that there are cases of yichud even if you have two women. But once you have more than one and one, that's going to be yichud only midorabbanon. Now, it's going to be important to know whether yichud is dorabbanon or doraisa, because I told you already that yichud haraya is a doraisa. I just told you now that it's only doraisa if it's one and one. So if you have yichud of a situation where there's no arayas, and it's more than one and one, then it's going to be derabbanan. And in certain sfeikos and certain machlokas, we're going to be able to be mekel, as we will see a little bit later in the shir. Now, the most important point of that I'm trying to get to here, when we talk about yichud with arayos and who is derais and derabbanan, is to determine what's the status of a nida. Single nida, certainly in dating shilas, that's the most commonplace shila. You have a woman who's not an erva because she's not an eshes ish. She's not your sister. She's not your, you know, she's not your mother. She's not your daughter-in-law. She's not your mother-in-law. She's not an eshes ish because you see if she should become your eshes ish. But what's the status of a nida penuya? Now, on one hand, you might think that it's one of the arayas, because if you open up the pasuk in Vayikra, you'll look at our list of arayas. Guess what? One of the 15 psukim in that list is one of the psukim is a nida. So it's in the list of arayas. So it sounds like it should be an erva. In which case, yichud would be daraisa. Secondly, what's the punishment for nida? It's a punishment of kares, like the rest of the arayas. So you'd think, again, it should be one of the arayas, then it should be potentially an iser daraisa of yichud. However, why could we argue that nida is not one of the arayas, and therefore nida, yichud with a nida will not be yichud midaraisa? There are two reasons. And that, yeah? Correct. Right. There's no mamzer who's born from yichud. And secondly, what's the other reason? There's no there is tefisas kedushin by a penuya. I'm sorry, by a nida. There is tefisas kedushin by chupas nida. There is tefisas kedushin. If you marry your sister, your mother-in-law, your mother, your daughter, there's no tefisas kedushin. So you see that nida is not an erva. So it's machlokas haposkim regarding this point, whether a nida penuya. Remember, if she's an Eishes Ish, there's nothing to talk about. But if it's a nida penuya, like on a date, is that derais or not? We are indeed are machmir. The post can do assume that a nida is one of the arayas, and therefore yichud with a nida would be yichud mida araisa. So that's as far as what is the status of yichud. Yeah, now Sam, what was your question? Great. Okay. So now let's talk about the ages of the halachas of yichud, and we're going to come out with some very interesting kulas. And of course, the age of yichud, whether you learn in the lumdus of yichud as an iser, as just a geder, or even if you learn that it's still an iser b'fnei atzma, even if you hold that it's an iser b'fnei atzma, it's still an iser b'fnei atzma because it could lead to something further. So it has to be only with somebody who's roi labia. A boy is roi labia from age 9. That's the age at which they're able, that their mice is considered mice labia. A woman is Ru'uya Labia from age 3, as we learned by Rivka. You may know that that's when a woman is Ru'uya Labia, which means that Yichud, a woman having Yichud with a boy below age 9 is not Yichud, which means that a man who has Yichud with a woman below the age of 3 is not Yichud. So let me give you a few very, very practical applications. If your sister asks you to please, she's going to Florida with her husband and she wants you to please watch her kids. Okay? So it depends how old her kids is. If she has a 2-year-old daughter, you can say, sure, I'm happy to watch your 2-year-old daughter. If she has a 3-year-old daughter, you have to tell your sister, I'm sorry, I can't watch your daughter when you're on vacation in Florida, because, or even while you go out for dinner, because I'm a bar mitzvah and my niece is 3 years old. So if you have a high school babysitter, a girl from the neighborhood comes to watch the kids, and there's a 9-year-old boy. Once he's 9, she can't be out there. You can't have a high school babysitter, a female high school babysitter, because there's a 9-year-old boy. If the boy's 8, then she could be a babysitter. On the other side of this situation, if you get one of the yeshiva guys, the high school boys, to be a babysitter, so if there's a 2-year-old girl, fine. If the girl's 3 years old, he can't be a babysitter. Now, what happens if you have the following situation? Every situation that I described was where there's one party who's above bar mitzvah. It will be usher for that party. The child is not a bar, is not chai b'mitzvahs. Says the Sefer Torah HaYichud, since there's no yichud by ktanim, if the katan doesn't have the din of yichud, it's only on the gadol with somebody who's a roi lebiya. If you have a 12-year-old boy, who's not chayiv in mitzvos, even though he's roi lebiya, an 11-year-old girl, who's not chayiv in mitzvos, even though she's ruuy lebiya, that situation would be mutter, because they're not bound by by halacha, and therefore a 12-year-old boy and an 11-year-old girl would be mutter lechatchila. Similarly, following the same logic, Rabbi Yashiv says something fascinating. Rabbi Yashiv says, let's say you have a Gentile. A Gentile has a lot of mitzvahs. He has seven of them, or she has seven of them. One of them is Gilei Ra'is, but Yichud is not one of them. There's no Isser Yichud on a guy. A guy didn't receive is not mitzvah in the Isser of Yichud. And therefore, if you have a Gentile, it's not mitzvah in the Isser of Yichud, a Gentile woman, let's say, babysitter that you hired, or a cleaning lady, with a 12-year-old boy, he's Roy Labia. But he's not mitzvah himself because he's not bar mitzvah yet. And she's not mitzvah because she's a goya. Therefore, that situation with a Gentile adult babysitter or a maid or cleaning lady with a 12-year-old boy would be mutter. The opposite is also true. Let's say you have a Gentile man. And for whatever reason, he's in the house with a young girl. Now, if she'd be bas mitzvah, she wouldn't be able to be misyachid with that Gentile man. But if she's only 11 years old or younger, she is not bound by Hilchas Yichud. He's a guy, so he's not bound by Hilchas Yichud. And therefore, again, it's not a smart thing to leave an 11-year-old girl with a Gentile man alone, but as far as Hilchas Yichud would be, Rabbi Elyasha points out that would be mutter. So that's another situation of with whom Yichud would be permitted. Let's talk about another situation where we have to figure out the whoms of Yichud. What about somebody who is very elderly and physically is unable to be involved, to have a physical connection with a woman. So somebody is not roi lebiya if they're less than 9. What happens if he's impotent because of his age? So here Ramosha says that there's a chilak. Ramosha in Evan Ezra Chilak Dalid Simon Samach He Sif Yud says the following. He says that if a man has been clinically diagnosed as being impotent, there's no iser of yichud for that man. However, let's say he's not clinically diagnosed as being impotent, but he knows that he's not able, he doesn't have gvuras anashim, he's not able to be with a woman. That's something that he knows that that's the case. It's not necessarily clinic, he doesn't have a disease or anything, he's not clinically diagnosed, but he's too weak to be able to do anything with the person with whom he's being miyached. Then, says Ramosha, we would allow yichud dirabbanan. Why is that so important? That's so important because you have many situations of an elderly man and you're trying to find a home health aide for them. So could you have a home health aide or a cleaning lady to take care of a home where there is an elderly man? So if the man has gvuras anashim, he's healthy and strong and he could do something with a woman, then it would be prohibited for him to have a female home health aide. Because of the Yisr of Yichud, if there are no other, again, we're going to talk about other heterim. You know, obviously, if his wife is there, there's no problem of Yichud. But if it's a, but if he's old enough and weak enough that he's not able to do anything, so Yichud, we said 5 minutes ago, with a Gaya, is only Midrabanan, says Ramosha, since it's only also Midrabanan, and he's not able, he knows that he's not able to be, he doesn't have Gurus, that he knows he's not able to do anything, so therefore that would be Mutter, because that's Yichud with that would only be Yichud Midrabanan. That is as far as whom is subject to the parameters of Yichud. Okay, let's now go to the next point. What is the Shiur? How long is Yichud? So when I went on my very first date in my whole life, not with my wife, my very first date, I went to Toronto. I went out with a young lady from Toronto. And what's there to do in Toronto? I came back Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I was learning in the mirror. I came back Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And you go to Toronto, April 9th or something like that. It's freezing up there. So what are you going to do in Toronto at night, on a Tuesday night? You know, for me, it was Ben Hasmana, but it's Tuesday night in Toronto. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? It's freezing outside. So anyone who knows Toronto, you go to the CN Tower, this gigantic tower. So we walk into this lobby and, you know, ready to pay to go to the observation deck 100 stories above the city, and you have beautiful views from the CN Tower. And then we look at each other and we realize that there's no one around, which means we're going to be in this elevator for, so I ask the guy, excuse me, sir, how long is the elevator trip from the ground floor of the lobby to the top observation deck? And he tells me, whatever, it's 2 minutes and 40 seconds, 3 minutes and 30 seconds. So I say, thank you so much. We turn around and we walk out and we figure out something else to do. We find a nice lobby near the bay in Toronto. Why? Because there's a shir of yichuds. And I was concerned that was more than a shir. So what is the shir? So there's no mesechta that talks about yichud in the halachas of yichud that we're familiar with. It's all the gemaras in the end of Kiddushin, that pe aleph, at the very last sugya is in Kiddushin. But the gemaras in Kiddushin don't talk about a shir of how long yichud is. However, by sota, part of sota, there's two parts for every sota. There's the kinui and the stira. Stira means yichud. So the Gemara in Sota says that the time requirement of that's considered the Kedei Tumah, that a man and woman have to be Mesiachid to make her into a Sota, to fulfill the requirement of Stira, is Kedei Litzlos Beitza U Ligoma. Roast an egg and swallow it. How long does it take to roast an egg and swallow it? That's the Gemara in Sota Dav Dalet. So here, it's very easy. You just do some experiments and you figure out how long does it take to roast an egg and swallow it. So the Dvar Halacha, which is the Bible of all of Hilchas Yichud, which was written in Bnei Brak by a Talmud of the Chaznish, the Stipler, wrote an incredible Sefer, which is basically the backbone of every contemporary Hilchas Yichud book, is based on this Sefer Dvar Halacha. So he experimented with the different descriptions of the Mefarshim, of what kind of Beitza and what does Lagoma mean, and he came up with a very chomer dika shear of as little as 35 seconds. That's very quick. 35 seconds, that's a shear tuma, and that's the shear that it would be prohibited to engage in being in a solitary situation with a person of the opposite gender. Rabbi Yashiv says, man, that's too short to be a shear tuma. You have, it's definitely less than a minute, it's definitely fine. B'shasat chak, you can make it up till a minute and a half. But Rav Moshe has a very important tshuva. Rav Moshe Eben HaEzer Chelek Dalid Chaf Beis Sif Hey, he says every Maisa Tuma has to also involve time of Ritzui, of Pitui, of seducing, and time that would be involved to getting undressed and getting dressed afterwards so that nobody would notice that something was different. And therefore, it depends on the situation. So Rav Moshe says is whatever the shiur tumah that we've been talking about, call it 35 seconds, call it a minute and a half, whatever it is, but it's plus a few minutes to be mefata and to get undressed, and a few minutes after to get dressed again. So you're talking 5-10 minutes, or maybe longer, Rav Moshe says. And therefore, according to Rav Moshe, you have a really big kula of what constitutes a shiur of yichud. But I want to explain something very clearly. When we say that yichud, let's say like Rav Moshe, is going to be, I'm going to make up a number, 7 minutes. I don't know if that's accurate, but let's say 7 minutes, 9 minutes. By the way, why do you think when you go to the yichud room, the rabbi says, the Masada Kedusha says, okay, the Edom should stand outside the yichud room for 9 minutes. That's an estimation of how long, you know, this the shir tumah plus before and after would take to, you know, it could take 9 minutes for something to happen. So that would be the zman of that the yichud have to stand that guard outside the yichud room. So let me present a very, very simple and common question. When I lived in Washington Heights, I was working in YU, I was teaching, I'd run home to grab lunch. Now, I had a Gentile babysitter. She was in the house. I want to run home, grab a yogurt from the fridge, and go back to the Beis Medrash. So could I go home, lock the door behind me, grab the yogurt, and go back outside? So you'll tell me, well, if you could do that in less than 35 seconds, or a minute and a half, or 9 minutes, it should be mutter. But that's not what it means. When we speak of a shir of yichud, what we mean is the following. If there is a situation left uninterrupted that could continue for 35 minutes, a minute and a half, 9 minutes, whatever shir you pick, then even being there for a second is aser. In other words, it's not that you're allowed to have yichud for less than 9 minutes. No. If you're in a situation where nobody will pass by for 9 minutes, let's say like Rav Moshe, if it's going to be 9 minutes, is that the number? That's the number we'll take. Then being in that situation is going to be us, or even for a second. So therefore, if you go up an elevator and the elevator is less than, let's take the most chomer dika shita, 35 seconds, it's a 34-second elevator ride from the first floor of the Empire State Building to the 60th floor. And no one else is, we're not talking about any doors opening and none of the people coming. It's an express elevator from floor 1 to floor 60. No stops, no breaks, no doors. So then you have to ask, how long is that ride? If it's 34 seconds, mutter. If it's a 2-minute ride, that's going to be asr. But if you have a situation that's asr, then you're not allowed to be there even for a second. So therefore, if you have a, let's say you know that the babysitter's home, the Gentile babysitter's home, and yeah, I want to walk in to my, let me qualify the case that I gave a little bit better. I walked into, and this is a real case and happened to me many times. I walk into my house in Washington Heights. I lock the door behind me. I go to the kitchen to start preparing my lunch. I'm going to cut myself some salad. I'm going to slice a tomato, slice a cucumber. And then I hear the babysitter in the baby's bedroom singing to the baby, changing the baby's diaper. I hear the rustling. I hear her talking to my baby. So now, I'm in a yichud situation. So do I say, okay, I have a few more minutes till I have to leave? Or do I have to dash to the door and unlock the door, open the door and jump outside, or at least open the door? So based on what we're saying, since this is a situation that would remain in a solitary circumstance for 35 seconds, a minute and a half, 9 minutes, whatever sheet you hold, then even being there for a moment would be usher, and I would have to, the second I heard that there's a person in the bedroom with a baby, I have to quickly run and open the door. That's as far as the shir for yichud. Okay, now let's go to the next point. The next point, let's talk about who is subject to yichud and who is not. So, of course, there's no yichud with a mother or a daughter, a father and a daughter. Oh, I'm sorry, mother and a son, a father and a daughter, that we know. What about a grandfather? What about a great-great-great-great-grandfather? What about a great-great-great-great-granddaughter? So, the poskim say that anyone, if parent or grandparent or anyone in a straight line, I don't care how many generations there are, if you're in a straight line, then there's no Isser Yichud. So you have a great-great-great-grandfather with his great-great-great-great-granddaughter is mutter. Sister-brother is mutter. A husband, a husband-wife after Birshona is mutter. Now, it happens to be, the Gemara says explicitly, that a sister, you know, people, of course, you're allowed to be misyachar with your sister, but bekvius, that's asr. The question is, we don't know what the word kavua is. What's kavius? So maybe kavua means 30 days? So oftentimes this happens when, especially in the Heights, when you have, let's say, one sibling has an apartment in the Heights, and the other sibling is coming from LA, coming from Chicago, coming from Cleveland, and coming to New York City to date, to figure if they could find a job, and they move in. Well, where are they going to move? They need a place. Oh, they'll move into their sister's house, to their brother's apartment. It's just the two of them. Mutter, right? That's the chatchila. That's great. You know, they'll keep eyes on each other. I had a shy like this, a fellow in the Heights who's from out of town, out of the country actually, and his sister was coming into to America. Where is she going to stay? Of course, she'll stay in her brother's apartment, but she's not allowed to move in. That would be bekvius. That would be aser. Rabbi Sobolovsky pointed out that maybe kvias could even be, sometimes, you know, you sort of come in and you don't really know how long you're going to stay. Like a girl comes in to date. Maybe she'll stay for a week and she'll be so, won't get any dates, she'll go back home. Maybe she'll go and it will go well and she'll stay for, for 3 months to date a guy. So if you move in and you unpack and you don't know where you're going, or a guy comes in to his sister's, his sister has an apartment in the city. So he comes in, he's not sure, is he going to go to yeshiva? Is he going to go to graduate school? Maybe he'll work. He doesn't really know. So if you don't really know, you're sort of settling in and you don't really know what's going to be. So Sobolovsky said that might also be a problem of bekvius. Okay. So that is as far as a sister. What about a guy? Well, we mentioned very clearly, the Gemara says that Hillel and Shammai were gozru al yichud shel goya. So a man with a goya is, of course, yichud. That we know that's from the gzera of Hillel and Shammai, midrabanan. But you have to know the opposite is also true. A Jewish woman is not allowed to be with a guy. Okay, that's also relatively obvious. The chiddush is, that I want to tell you, is that normally with a husband and wife, in a husband-wife pair, that solves all yichud problems. If there's a husband and wife present, there's no yichud for anyone else to be there. So for example, let's say there's a newlywed couple or somebody in Eretz Yisrael, there's a husband and wife get married and they want to have guests. So they could have a seminary girl or they could have a yeshiva boy stay over for Shabbos. No problem, because as long as there's a husband and wife there, mutter. Except in the following case. If the husband and wife is a guy. If you have a Gentile man and a Gentile woman married to each other, and marriage is wonderful. It's wonderful for Jews, marriage is wonderful for Gentiles. But guess what? Just because they're married, that doesn't necessarily prevent anything from happening. Maybe a non-Jewish woman would not be so makpid if her husband would engage with other people, with other women. And therefore, Raya L'davar is Bill Clinton, you know. Hillary knew what her husband did, and didn't sound like it was the end of the world. Okay, you know, people do things, and their marriage continued on whatever level their marriage continued. So therefore, a Jewish woman is not allowed to be with a Goyish man, even with his wife. And that's an interesting iser as far as who. Okay, so that's the introduction. Yeah, Tovia, go ahead. Tovia, do you want to ask a question? A Jewish man with a Jewish woman, because it could be... Yeah, hold on. I believe that the non-Jewish man might be makpid about his wife and not let his wife get involved with anything. Okay. Until now, we finished our introduction. Now we're going to start the halachas. Now, when I say the halachas, I mentioned earlier that there's situations where you could have multiple people. It's only midaraisa if you have one and one. But you could still have a situation of yichud with more than one and one. So that's what we're going to talk about now, which is the second to last mishnah in Kedushin. Kedushin Peyamud Beis says, Isha achas misyachedes im shnei anashim. You could have two men with one woman, and that's what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes. When you have one woman, what are the parameters for one woman? So one woman can't be with another man. One woman could be with two men. That's a heter of two men. Why? Rashi says, because if there are two men there and one would do something, one man would be bosh, would be embarrassed from another man. So this is the Dina de Mishnah, that if you have two men, yichud is mutter. Now, there are two limitations, the Gemara says, two limitations to the heter shnei anashim. Number one, they have to be ksherim. They have to be two religious Jews. If they're prutzim, then afilu asara lo. That means if you have 10 prutzim and one woman, that woman is not permitted to be in the company of 10 prutzim. What's a paritz? So a paritz is a paritz. A paritz is probably somebody who is not committed to the halachos of to halacha. You know, they could be very upstanding, nice people, but if they're not religious, that might give them objectively a din of a paritz. You could have a Gentile who's a wonderful, wonderful person, an upstanding citizen, but from a halachic perspective, there's probably a din of a paritz. And therefore, if you have a woman who's the single woman in the firm, she's a partner, and there are 10 other partners, they're all male, and they have a partner meeting, and because it's a confidential partner meeting, they lock the door of the conference room. So you have one woman with 10 men, they all have a halacha of prutzim. Again, they might be wonderful people, but they all have a halacha of prutzim, and that would be an iser of yichud, because it's one with one woman with a bunch of prutzim. We'll define more clearly the definition of the parameters of a paritz a little bit later. The other halacha, that limitation of two men, besides the fact that the two men have to be ksherim, is that two men are sufficient as matzilim to prevent the case of yichud, only be'ir. Says the Gemara, because baderech, you know what we're worried about? If you have one woman going with two men on the road, what's going to happen when one of those two men have to go to the bathroom, have to relieve themselves? They'll walk into the forest to find an appropriate spot to relieve themselves. You'll be left with, on the road, one man and one woman. And therefore, Chazal said that two men are great to save a situation of yichud, but not on the road. But derech, you need a third man. So if we pause here for a minute, if you have your smicha apartments, you have a roommate, you and you, the two of you are roommates with each other, and one of you is dating a young lady, so she comes into the apartment, so that should be mutter. Right, that should be mutter, even if the front door is locked. Two men and one woman, it should be mutter. That's Dina de Gemara. And that's how we paskin. Sfardim don't. We'll see why not. But that's how certainly Ashkenazim paskin. Two men and one woman is kosher. Now, why is it? Now, keep in mind, if you have an office setting, all you need for a woman to be able to work in an office where there are men is if you have two from men are kosherim, and you have a woman working there, that's great. So if there's a three-way law firm, you have two male lawyers and one female lawyer, they could sit in the conference room, lock the front door, and that's fine. Two men and one woman, that's great. Let's now get a little bit more detailed into who is considered a paritz, that for this halacha to be true, that your two men are matzil, or two men are allow the situation of yichud. So we said that a guy is by definition a paritz regardless of who he is personally. There's another opinion. The Ma'ariman says that a paritz is somebody who's paritz b'makom acher. What does that mean? Does that mean that he's paritz b'arayas? He has a history of being paritz b'arayas? Some say that Chacham Adam says even if he's paritz in Hilchas Kashrus, he's paritz in Hilchas Shatnez, he's paritz in Hilchas Shabbos, he texts on Shabbos, he's a great tzaddik, except he texts on Shabbos, or whatever other area, he doesn't check his clothes for Shatnez. So that would make him a paritz, and it would be usur for this woman to be with these two men if they're paritz. Ramosha says, even if you never did anything wrong, but if you're not confident about yourself, that you'd be able to withstand a situation of yichud, one of these yichud situations, that also has a din of a paritz. And I have to say it, even though it's a little scary and it's a little might make people a little bit uncomfortable, but we have to Torah hiv lomod ani tzarech. Rabbi Yashiv is quoted, as the Shev Talevi Ravazner also is quoted, that somebody who watches television has a din of a paritz and does not have this heter of yichud with an isha. Because they lack the sensitivity, somebody watches television lacks the sensitivity to arayas. So if you don't have the sensitivity to arayas, so how could you be called a kosher in the sugya of yichud? Now, between you and me, you have to really evaluate, is their psak applicable in communities where no one watches TV, but maybe in a community where everyone watches TV, where TV is the norm, that, you know, maybe that wouldn't make you a paritz? It's only a paritz in an insulated community, and your mamish, paritz get there. And you have a TV, no one else in Harnof, and no one else in Bnei Brak has a TV, and you have a TV, oh, you're a paritz. Or maybe it's just somebody who doesn't have that sensitivity, so I'm going to leave that up for others to decide, but that's an important thing to keep in mind. So let's say you have a woman who works in a Gentile firm, which many women do, many religious women do, and we said that if there are prutzim, then afilu meya. The Yerushalmi says even asara, even a meya, prutzim don't solve the case of yichud. So how is she ever going to be able to go to work? The answer is, the iser of prutzim is only when there's men, as many men as there are, even 100, with a woman. But if you have nashim harbe im anashim harbe, well, guess what? Three's a party, right? Anashim harbe is not yichud. It's not yichud. It's a party. So if you have nashim harbe and anashim harbe, so even if the men are prutzim, it's still going to be mutter. The question is, what's harbe? So we know that two men is not okay with one woman, but how many men is? 10 men, 5 men is not okay with one woman. So how many women do you have to have? How many men do you have to have? So there are three opinions. One says two men with one woman is not okay, but if you have a second woman, that will be okay. That's the most lenient opinion. The most chamadic opinion says three men, even if they're prutzim, will be mutter if there are three women there. But anything less than that would be yichud. That's the most chamadic opinion. This is what Ramosha Feinstein says you should follow. So if a woman finds herself in the office with three Gentile men are in her firm, so she could be there only if there'll be three women in her firm. That would be considered not yichud. And then there's an opinion in the middle that says two and three, that's two men and three women, that's mutter. But I told you, Ramosha says ideally, you should try to have three men and three women. That's the chatchila. But again, mi'ikar hadin, if you have two men that are ksherim at least, then you have, mi'ikar hadin, if you have two men that are ksherim, you could have one woman be with her, be in the same room with her. Now, I'm not going into the pshat for Sfardim. Sfardim have a very different way of dealing with the numbers involved in Yichud, and I'll tell you why. Because the Rambam says that every person that you know, and every person that I know, including our Rebbeim, our Rashi Yeshiva, all of them are all called Prutzim, according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, everyone Bizman Hazeh is a Parutz. The only one who is not a Parutz, the only one who is a Kasher, are the great Tzaddikim of the Amoraim who jumped into a fiery furnace to avoid Arayis, and who jumped off buildings to avoid Arayis. People like that, those are Ksherim, but anyone else is a Parutz. And other than those people, which we pretty much don't have, a regular Orthodox Jew who's Shomer Mitzvahs and a Ben Torah, that's not a Kasher, and therefore you never have the Heter of two men and one woman. That's the Rambam's opinion. And that's and Sfaradim Paskin like that. And therefore, according to Sfaradi, if you have two men and one woman, that would be Asr, even if they're both religious men. They'd have to have, again, two and two, or three and three. That's the opinion of the Sfaradim, and we're going to leave it for that. Until now, we mentioned that two men is a heter. Again, let's assume two Jewish refrim men and one Jewish woman. Two men is mutter. We said that there has to be ba'ir. But baderech, we're worried that one will leave, so you have to have another man there. But there's another application. The Ravid said, if the Gemara tells us that baderech, we're worried one of them will leave the caravan to excuse himself, and you'll be left with one and one, says the Ravid, I'm equally concerned about Laila, that two men, one of them will fall asleep and leave one and one. So therefore, the Ravid says that Balaila, when you have two religious men, that's not kosher, you need a third guy. So let's put that into the application. You have two guys, two smicha students, have an apartment in the Heights. And a woman, one of them is dating a girl, she comes over to the apartment, they lock the front door, mutter. But Balaila, we're worried that one of them is going to fall asleep, and it's going to be mutter, so it's only going to be mutter, and it's going to be usher, so you have to have a third male roommate, to make it mutter for her to be in that room, in that apartment, with front door locked. The question is, when is Laila? Is Laila at Shkia? Is Laila at Seis? So the poskim say that Laila is not defined in the halachic term that you're familiar with, Laila, but rather is determined when people go to sleep. Not any people, these people. So if you and your roommates go to sleep between 1 and 1:30 a.m., that means this young lady could stay with two men locked in the apartment, two of the boys in the apartment, until 1 o'clock in the morning. After 1 o'clock, we're worried somebody's going to fall asleep. After that, after 1 o'clock, you'll have to have a third roommate present. That's the parameter. If, on the other hand, let's say you're early sleepers, you go to sleep at 11 o'clock, somebody in the apartment goes to sleep at 11 o'clock, so we're worried already at 11 o'clock that somebody will fall asleep, and therefore the iser of the requirement of Balaila will start earlier. We'll start at 11 o'clock. Toby, give me one more minute. Based on this, Reb Elyashiv and the Dvar Halacha has a fabulous kula. What's another situation when you're not planning to go to sleep? Let's say one of the two guys doesn't sleep in this apartment. He's visiting. So we're not worried he's going to fall asleep because he's visiting the apartment. He plans on sleeping somewhere else. So that means even at 3 in the morning, let me say that, if it's 1 o'clock and somebody plans on going home, so even if it's a time that he would go to sleep, but not he can't go to sleep because he has to go home, so it's not yet the time to go to sleep, and it will still be mutter. So Meikra Hadin, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying something wild. I'm saying that if you have three men, then a woman could sleep in that room. L'chatchila. Now, I'm not advising that. It's not proper. Sleeping is more chamer. But Meikra Hadin, that's what should presumably come out, although maybe halach l'maisa, we would try to avoid that. But certainly, if you're driving down from the mountains and you're driving from Hask, Tovia, let me just finish this point. Let's say you're driving back from Hask and you want to give the two guys driving back from Hask to the city, and a girl needs a ride. One of the girl counselors needs a ride back from camp. So the halacha is baderech. You're not allowed to give her a ride. Why? Because it's baderech. You're going to need a third person, a third male counselor to go in order for her to be mutter, for her to be in the car, because it's baderach. Again, that's assuming that the car is traveling in areas where there's yichud, like a quiet mountain road. If you're on the highway the whole time, straight from, you know, a populated area on a highway the whole time, maybe there's no yichud, because there are people there the whole time. Yeah, okay, Toby, what's your question? Yes, but only if you, but you'll need three. Meaning, if you have three people, even if they're all sleeping, it's going to be mutter. Because any of them could wake up at any point. If you have two people, it's going to be usur, because one of them might fall asleep. Okay. Now, I'll finish this section. Again, we're talking, this section that we're speaking of is when you have one woman. And it's mutter, there are two men. But we said the two men are ksherim. What happens if it's one kasher and one parts? In other words, there's two, a woman works as there are three partners, Jewish girl, Jewish guy, and Gentile guy. So two partners, one's Jewish, one's not. One's religious, one's not. So when one is kasher and one is parts, is that considered that they're ksherim? So this is machlokas haposkim. So what are we going to do? What do you do when you have machlokas haposkim? Well, you remember what I told you earlier? That there's yichud d'oraisa, so there's yichud d'rabbanan. Well, by definition, what's the situation that we have here? You have a woman, this hand is woman, and you have two men. One is a paritz, one is a kasher. Machlokas, whether this is yichud hamuteres or not, because you need two men, but they have to be ksherim. You hear you have one kasher, one paritz. So what's the halach? Machlokas. Well, guess how many do you have here altogether? One, two, three. Three people is always going to be yichud mide rabbanan. So since it's yichud mide rabbanan, one could be mekel, in a case of one kasher and one paritz. That's the kshara that the Sefer Torah HaYichud says, that since you have a safik d'rabbanon, you could be making the safik d'rabbanon, like the opinion who allows one and one kasher and one paritz. Okay. That was the first section of the shir. The second section of the shir, at least the next 5-minute segment, we'll be talking about, until now we talked about one woman, now we're going to talk about one man. One man finds himself in a situation with two women. Okay, so let's say you're a teacher, you teach in a girls' school. So you have one man with 30 girls, 28 girls. So is that okay? Is that not okay? Well, let's see what the Mishnah says. Mishnah that in Kedushin Daf Pei says, Lo yisyachid adam im shtei nashim. So why can't you, what's the double standard? How come one man is not allowed to be with two women, but one woman is allowed to be with two men? Why are we asking one man with two women? It's like, where I asked that question. My taima, Tana de Beil Yoho, v'nashim daitan kalos. This is the famous line that is taken out of context and besmirches us, which is because of, you know, it has nothing to do with intelligence, it has nothing to do with mental capacity, it has to do with how the difference between men and women being able to be seduced to do something inappropriate. That's the entire context of Nashim Daitan Kalas, nothing to do with intelligence. So Rashi explains on those words, Ushtei Hanochos Lehispatos. It's possible that this one man could seduce two women. You're not going to have a man seducing a woman. If there's another man there, he's going to feel awkward. But it is possible for one man to seduce two women. And therefore, we're worried, the way Rashi learns, is that we're worried that the man will seduce one and he'll seduce the other. And since both of them might be seduced, each of the women won't be scared of one another either, because they know, just like he's seducing me, and I might do something, so she's going to do something. And she's saying he's seducing me, but she's also going to get seduced, so he'll do so with both of us. And therefore, because there's a concern that he might be both of them, it's going to be yichud will be aser. The Ritva says that there's a different svar. The difference says, you know why two women is aser? Not because he might be both of them. He'll only be both of one. He'll be mafata one. He'll seduce one of them. But the other woman, this is what daitan kalos means, will be mechapa. She cares about her friend more. She cares about her friend. She'll be mechapa. She'll cover up on her friend. She won't say anything. And therefore, a man, nah, men couldn't care less about their friend's emotions. Women care about their friend's emotions, care about their friend's, you know, doesn't want to hurt her friend's feelings. So if a man was mefata to one of them, the other one will keep it quiet, and therefore, two women is aser with one man. What's important is a nafkamina between these two pshatim is the following. Let's say you have more than two. So if you have more than two, the Ritva says, let's say you have three women. One man and three women. So according to the Ritva, the women who are not involved with the act will be mechap, will cover up for their friends. And therefore, we're worried that something will happen, that there will be something inappropriate happening. However, Rashi said that we're worried that he's going to be bold, both of them. Say the Rishonim, it's physically impossible, without going into the, you know, the biological details, it's physically impossible for a man to be with one woman and another woman and a third woman in one sitting. Two women, maybe. But to be with three women, one after the other, that's impossible. And therefore, according to Rashi, the concern is the one man is asked to be with two women because he'll be, well, both of them, can't be both three women. And therefore, this is called Nashim Harbe. Nashim Harbe Rashi, who assumes that the problem with Yichud, with two women, is because he might be ball both of them. But if there are three women, we can't be ball all three. So by definition, one of them will not be a victim, one of them will not be involved, and therefore all of them will become mutter. Because since there's one who will not get involved, everyone's scared that, oh, she's not going to be involved, she's going to tattletale on us. And therefore, Yichud will be mutter for all of them because nobody's going to get involved because everyone's going to be scared to do anything wrong. So halacha l'maisa, if you have nashim harbe, three women, Yichud will be permitted. Two women, Yichud is also medina de mishnah. Three women, we're telling you, and this is the sheet of the Ramah is mekel, to allow three women. You know something? Let's say you have a business. You're a guy, Jewish guy, and you have three employees, three female employees, three secretaries working for you. You're a doctor, you have three nurses working for you. You're a lawyer, you have three paralegals, female paralegals working for you. So, if you had two, it would be usher. Now that you have three, it becomes mutter. And the Dvar Halacha points out, that's safer that I told you from Bnei Brak, that even if some or all of them are prutzos, it's still mutter. Right? Because there's nothing to do with how kosher somebody is. It has to do with the physical impossibility of being both three women. Therefore, by definition, somebody's not going to get involved. And therefore, since by definition somebody's not going to get involved, everyone will be scared to get involved because they don't want to be the odd one. You know, they'll be embarrassed from the person who's not getting involved. And therefore, if you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you're a who knows what, and you're with three women, it's mutter, even if they're all prutzos or all goyos. That would be mutter, even if they're all prutzos. That's the kula of the Dvar Halacha. According to this, the cases that we were talking about, babysitting, let's say your sister says, I'm going to Florida, can you watch your three nieces? Once there are three, it's mutter. If you're a social worker and you're doing group therapy with women, once there are three women, it's mutter. If you're a Rebbe and you're teaching a girls' class, even if the door is locked and there are no windows in the door, very stupid. Don't do that. Make sure you protect yourself from anyone accusing you, God forbid. It's a very important practical lesson as a rabbi to make sure that when you, as Hashem, become a rabbi or a principal, you make sure you have video cameras and you have windows only to protect yourself. That's absolutely important. So nobody should ever, God forbid, accuse you of doing anything inappropriate. Of course you won't, but nobody should even be able to accuse you. So, but according to Halacha, even if the door is locked and there are no windows, if you're a rabbi, it should be mutter l'chatchil because there are more than three women there. That's what should be true, me'ikar hadin. However, Rav Moshe doesn't like that halacha. Rav Moshe, even though it's the Mefurash Ramah, Rav Moshe is machmir and suggests that you should avoid this heter of Nashim Harbe. He doesn't like it, but me'ikar hadin it is mutter. Okay, did somebody have a question? Excellent question. Why would they, if they're prutzes, they don't, it's not a big deal for them, so why would they care? Maybe he would care because they would talk about it. So that could be, as long as there's one person who's not going to be involved, we worry that they're going to be talk about it. Maybe he would care about his own image. That could be. That might also be a heter. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, we're going to talk about video cameras, but that's not this topic, because until now, all we've talked about the last 10 minutes, 15 minutes, we spoke about how many people are around. You're going to talk about video cameras, which is going to be a different heter, which we'll see soon. Yes, Rafael? That's another sugya. That's the sugya of Shomrim, that if there are children who would talk because they're too young, they know that something's weird going on, but they don't know exactly what, and they don't have their taivas bia themselves, so they would talk. That's called Shomrim, which is the last part. I don't know if we'll get to that, but yeah. So I'll jump there right now just to tell you, you know, if there happens to be a child who's, how old? A girl from... Who's, again, the gather that the Gemara tells us is that they know that something weird is happening. They know what Bia is, but they don't have a taiva. They know that this is weird, you shouldn't be doing this, but they don't even have a taiva. So that's different between a girl and a boy. A girl, between the poskim say, once she's 5 or 6 till 9, so even though you're not allowed to have yichud with her because she's 3 already, but if she would be there with others, she'd be matzil, because you'd be nervous that she's going to say something. She's not going to get involved. She's not going to be happy to get involved because she's 8 years old. She's not interested in this. She just wants to, you know, play whatever Barbie dolls, whatever 8-year-old girls play with. I should know because I have a daughter that age. She just wants to play Barbie, but we don't have any Barbie dolls. My daughters don't play Barbie dolls, Baruch Hashem. But... So they'll talk. Or a boy, but if, again, 5 or 6... and up. Also, you know, he's not interested in it. He knows that this is weird. And, you know, a 4-year-old might not even realize it's weird, might not be able to communicate that something weird happened. But once a kid is 5 or 6 years old, until either 9 or, you know, they don't yet have the taiva themselves, that would be a heter also. Yeah, but that's the heter called Shomrim, which we're not going to get to. Okay. Excellent questions. Let's say you're babysitting a 10-year-old girl with, there's an Isser of Yichud, definitely, and her little brother who's 7 years old. So that would be mutter because the 7-year-old boy is going to talk if something weird would happen. That's right. Okay. We're now going to go to the next topic within Hilchos Yichud, which is, besides the numbers of how many people, which we spoke about already, is telling us what's Yichud, what's not Yichud. Now that we know what Yichud is, we have to find the heter for Yichud. The first heter that we'll talk about is the heter that the Gemara tells us, which is the heter of Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim. Gemara Kedushin Pei Aleph Amid Aleph, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. Now, I'll just tell you a cute vart. What's the reason why Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim? Is it that it's yichud, but there's a heter that you're worried that somebody will come in? What we call mirsis? Like, why is a restaurant kosher if they don't have a mashgiach tamidi? Because there's mirsis. They're worried that at any point the mashgiach will come in. That's one heter. Or maybe the reason why Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim is mutter, because if there are people that could come in, it's not yichud. Yichud means solitary, means alone. If people could come in, that's not just hastening kind of alone. That's not called alone. So this is Taka, a Chakira, where the Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim is not Yichud, or is Yichud, but it has a Heter of Mirsas, there are Nafka Minas, that we're not going to get into for now, but okay. What we have to focus on is the definition of these three words. Pesach, what is Pesach Pasuach, what does open mean? And L'Rishus Harabim, what is L'Rishus Harabim? How many people have to be there in order to make it Mutter, Mitam Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus Harabim? So the main point in this next segment is going to be to figure out, does the door have to be actually ajar, or is it sufficient for it to be merely unlocked? So let's say you have yichud, bona fide yichud, you're on a date with a girl, period. Door is closed fine. Is that okay because it's unlocked, or does it actually have to be ajar? So this is a machlokas haposkim. Rabbeinu Yona, the Rashba Rabbeinu Yona says that even if the door is closed, as long as it's unlocked, people are worried, the parties are concerned, Shema Yikanes. That's a tremendous kula. The door could be closed, but since somebody could open it if they so desire, and since you're positioned, this door is positioned at a Rishus HaRabim, it's Pesach that's Pasuach, the Rishus HaRabim, it's unlocked to the Rishus HaRabim, anybody from the Rishus HaRabim could open the door, and Shema Yikanes. If they open the door and they find some people inside doing things that are inappropriate, so the people inside are going to be scared to do anything because the door, somebody could walk in at any moment. That's that the Pesach Rishus HaRabim. However, Rabbi Kveger and one of his contemporaries, the Beis Meir, who he communicates with very meaningfully on this sugya and in other sugyas, say, I have a rai from a gemara not like that. I have a rai that it has to be actually ajar. And I'll tell you why. Because if you hold that the heter is, like the Rashba says, that the door has to be just unlocked, well, it's only going to be mutter to be unlocked if it's as late as people would theoretically open the door. If you have a door that's unlocked at 3 in the morning, in most neighborhoods, in 99% of the neighborhoods, at 3 in the morning, no one's going to come into your house, even if you happen to left your door unlocked. I know before you go to sleep, you lock the door anyway just out of safety, but that's, even if you didn't unlock your door, I'm sure no one's going to come into your house. However, if you assume that the door has to be ajar, when should it be mutter? Even at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because if your door was ajar, would you do anything inappropriate in the room? Even at 3 o'clock in the morning, there are not many people are out outside. In fact, there's almost no one out outside. But if you leave the door ajar, you're worried that there's going to be somebody, that random one guy walking down the street at 3 o'clock in the morning, your door is ajar, you're not going to do anything wrong. And that is the raya that Rabbi Kveger brings. And I'll tell you what the raya is. The raya is that there's a gemara that talks about Palti ben Laish. Palti ben Laish was a great tzaddik, and he was made sure that he didn't touch a woman who was thought to be his wife. He knew that it wasn't his wife, and he put a cherev between him and his wife, and they didn't touch each other. Why, Tosa says, they didn't touch each other? The question that Tosa says, why wasn't there yichud? Even though they didn't touch each other, why wasn't there a violation of yichud? Tosa says in Shabbos Yud Gimel, because it was Pesach Pasuch Rishus Rabin. Can I ask you a question? The Gemara says that they did this for years. Wait a second, why was it mutter at night? Why wasn't there yichud? Pesach Pasuch Rishus Rabim, if the yichud just means that the door is unlocked, so why would it be mutter after people are no longer walking the streets? If this Tosis is telling me, says Rabbi Kveger, the Beis Meir, that there's a heter of yichud for 20 years, 30 years, whatever, as long as the Palti ben Laish was in that situation with his sort of almost wife, but not really wife, and it was mutter for that entire time period, it must have been mutter even in the middle of the night. Why is it mutter in the middle of the night? It must be the door was ajar, because the heter of Pesach Pasuach is only when if the door is closed, you have to have somebody, the potential of somebody opening it. 3 o'clock in the morning, no one's going to open it. But if you hold that the heter is that it actually has to be ajar, it'll be mutter 24 hours. And therefore, if you have a Gemara of Palti ben Laish that's talking about a case where Yichud was mutter all 24 hours because of Pesach Pasuach, must have been the door was ajar. That's Rabbi Kveger's Raya. So it seems to me that Meikar Hadin, we probably are Meikar like the Rashba. Well, you have a Rishon, the Rashba. And Rabbi Kveger's great, but he can't argue on a Shut HaRashba. So Meikar Hadin, I think Meikar Hadin, one could probably assume that being unlocked is sufficient. That means, though, that it's only going to be mutter as long as there are passerbys at that time of the day. But because we're dealing with a big, Rabbi Kveger held otherwise, the Beis Meir, the two Gedolei HaPoskim of that generation held otherwise, you really should only be Meikel to leave the door unlocked, meaning to not just ajar, but unlocked, if you have another kula to add. You know what another kula would be? Maybe that anyway it's only Yichud Rabbanan because there are multiple women there. If you had one and one, just you and a girl, or girl and guy, one and one. So you close the door. So that's a machlokis if that's Yichud. It's machlokis, it's a shalva daraisa. So I'd be machmir. However, if you have two and one, it's only shalva Rabbanan, then there's more room to be mekel and to be lenient and to allow the door to be closed and not ajar. If it's one and one, I would only be comfortable to be matir if the door would be ajar, like Rubik Veger assumes. That would be a little bit of a chumrah. So you want the door a little bit ajar. Once you have more people there, multiple people there, or let's say the person that is there, so you're in the house with a cleaning lady. Her name is Maria. She's not Jewish. So are you allowed to be in the door with the door locked? Of course not. Are you allowed to be with the door unlocked? Well, that would be an Isser Midrabanan. What Drabanan? The Talmid Hil Vishame, Gazra al Hagoya. That'd be only Drabanan. Since it's only Drabanan, then there's room to leave the door closed but unlocked. But if it would be you and not Maria but Miriam, then you should probably leave the door ajar. But if it's you and Miriam and another Miriam, two Miriams, Miriam and Chani, then that's also only Drabanan. I think also you could be Mekel and have the door unlocked, but not ajar. Closed, but unlocked. Okay. Now, a lot of times when you talk to people about this, they ask, but I know no one's coming in. You're telling me I can leave the door unlocked? Let's assume that Mikra didn't leave the door unlocked, especially if the person you're with is a Goya or is two women. I know no one's coming in. So this happens all the time. This happens, anyone who's a therapist, you know, it has an office in a bigger building, a doctor, it's one and one, and the door's unlocked. Therapists don't lock the door, it's too dangerous, they'll be accused of who knows what. So, but at the same time, you know no one's walking into the middle of a therapy session, you know no one's going to come in. So you should know that the Radvai says that even though you don't think, I'm sorry, the Rashba says, even though your very reasonable assumption is that no one's going to come in, you don't expect any new incomers, it's still mutter. So if that's the case, the Rashba is going to be mekel. The Radvaz is machmir here if you don't think anyone's going to come in. But the Rashba is mekel. We make right that we pass like the Rashba. That as long as the door is unlocked, there's a certain emas rabim alav. Even though you know no one, the door is unlocked. You know no one's coming in. It's a therapy session. No one comes in to a closed door in the doctor's office. And if you're the doctor and you're with a patient, but people, you're scared to do anything with a client because there's an emas rabim. Ultimately, the door is unlocked. Somebody could come in. So even though you don't think anyone's going to come in, neither party assumes anyone's going to come in, it'd still be mutter. This heter of pesbosuch or shesram would be mutter. Again, if you're assuming unlocked is sufficient. Because emas rabim alav b'teva. What happens if you're all the way upstairs in the attic in your office and Maria comes and wants to vacuum the floor in the attic? And that means you have to go to the front. The front door is closed. There's a first floor, a second floor, an entrance room on the third floor, a hallway, and your office is all the way in the back. So you have to go through four closed doors to get to your office. Is that going to be aser? The Radvaz says no. Once you hold the heter, a pesach pesuch or shesarab, once the door is unlocked, then it gives you a heter. Even if there are numerous closed doors, one after the other, it's going to be mutter. Okay. That's the first half of the sugya pesach pesuch l'rishus harabim. We talked about what's a pesach pesuch. Now we have to discuss what is l'rishus harabim. Does it mean dafka l'rishus harabim? That only if you have a door that opens to Times Square, that's when it's mutter? So Binyan Sion says no, even if it's open up to a chatzer, a side street, a small side street. The Dvar Halacha is even more mekel. He says as long as the door is open to a place of three people, three people is enough. So if you have an apartment with three apartments on one floor, it's a small building, three apartments on a floor, and you're on the top floor, you're on the sixth floor, three apartments on the floor. If the front door is open to a hallway where there are three people in that hallway, then that your apartment door could be closed. You have the heter of pesach pesuch l'rishus harabim. The first opinion says, no, it has to be to Rishus Rav Mamish. And we're saying, no, Rishus Rav means not Rishus Rav with a lowercase r and a lowercase h. Lower Rishus, lower Haravim. That's enough. Three people is enough to allow access. So if you're in an apartment building where the front door of the building is locked, which is normal, often the case, and there's we're not living on the Upper West Side. Forget about the doorman. There's a front door that's locked, and you have a hallway, just a few apartments in this building. So as long as there are three other people that could roam this hallway, that would be sufficient to qualify as a Rishus HaRabim, and therefore an unlocked door to that hallway would be permitted. But, of course, we have the limitation that I said before. If the door is going to be closed, if it's a jar, you have the heter all night long. If the door will be closed, the heter is only until there are still people walking the streets. How late is that? The Chazon Ish said in 1950s, 10 p.m. in Bnei Brak. So in Bnei Brak in the 1950s, 10 p.m., that's late. You know, if you're in NYU, so I assume that's going to be 12:30 at night. You know, the people are still walking around in the streets and in the hallways. During finals in NYU, 3 o'clock in the morning, there are people walking the streets and the hallways of the buildings around NYU. Okay. Now, the Noda Yehuda says that this heter, Petzel Pesuch L'Shetzer Abim, gives forth another heter, which is very important, and that's a window. It seems obvious. But if you have a window that is Pesuch L'Shetzer Abim, it's just as good as having a Petzel Pesuch L'Shetzer Abim, right? So I definitely was somich on this. When I was dating, I would, let's say, you dropped somebody off. I was dating, I was in Lakewood at the time, and I had a long drive back, and sometimes you need somewhere to talk a little bit before you go, you want to take a bite. So you drop the girl off, it's late at night, and now I have to go drive somewhere. So all we did, we sat in her house with the windows wide open, even though the front door was closed, even if it's locked. But if you're in the, you know, your big bay window in the living room or the dining room, so as long as, again, if the lights are on inside the dining room or living room, so you're visible, the lights are on, you're visible, you could stay there, it's like you're outside. That's mutter. I had an interesting shaila. A fellow on the 23rd floor of an apartment building, his parents went away, he was home with his housekeeper, no one else was home, for 3 days, 2 days. And, like, what are you going to do? His housekeeper was a live-in housekeeper, and he was there because he's had school. He's on the 23rd floor of his building. There's no Pesach Pesuch Rishus Rabim. He's scared, and they're not going to let him just leave the front door of the apartment ajar. Definitely not. And even closed, well, that only helps you while people are walking through the hallways in the apartment building. After 11 o'clock at night, you don't have that heter. So what is he going to do? So I said, you live on the 23rd floor, right? Yes. Is there another apartment building opposite your apartment building? He said, yeah, it's a twin building. Not twin towers, but yeah, there's another building right opposite my building. And is there a bedroom right opposite another? I said, yeah. He said, yeah. So I said, okay. So you should sleep, you know, after night, after you're going to lock the front door, and it's late at night, you should stay in that room opposite the other window where they could look straight in. And since they could look straight in, you still have the heter, Pesel Pesuch L'Rishus HaRabim, with that window on the 23rd floor. Leave the shades open. There should maybe be a little bit of light so that, you know, you could be seen, but that would be a heter. Yes, Menachem, you have a question? That's a good question. But you don't know how many people are there. There might be 5 people in that room. Yeah. Okay, now, let me ask you a very simple question. Let's say you're in this bay. I described this situation. I was on a date. I sat in her living room at her dining room table with the bay windows wide open. No one else is home, let's say. Why aren't we worried that maybe right now I'm in the vision of the outside people, but maybe I'll just excuse myself and I'll walk to a different room outside of the line of vision of people? Why aren't we worried about that? We're not. The halacha of yichud applies only basher husham. If this is aser, it's aser. We're not worried that maybe you'll go somewhere else where it will be yichud. And I'll prove it to you. Because if you're in an unlocked door, pesach pesuch l'rishus rabim, not a jar, unlocked, why don't we choshe that you're going to lock the door? All you have to do is go, and you just made yichud. That's not a problem. If the door is unlocked, it's mutter. We're not worried you're going to lock the door. Similarly, we're not worried you're going to leave the line of vision from the people outside. That is mutter. Okay. There's another heter which is a little bit more involved, and that is also, this is the last ditch heter that any rabbi has to have up his sleeve for last ditch. You know, there's no other way to be matir other than the following, and that would be, let's say, again, I've had this, you know, rely on this very rarely, because it's really a last ditch thing to rely on. If there's a case of yichud, but somebody else has the key, somebody else is going to come home. So if they're going to come home any minute, you don't know when they're coming home. So there's no yichud because people could be coming in at any minute. It's no different than just because the door is locked, it's considered unlocked. Why? Because people have the key, so it's not locked. Lagavi, the people that have the key. So sometimes, again, you have to really speak to a posuk before you use this kula. Sometimes a situation where it's late at night, you're not having people walk in, you could give somebody a key and tell them to please visit you. But there are two, they have to, the Dvar Halacha writes that they actually have to come. They have to really come. And they should come more than once, they should come twice. So that it just because they came once, so you have to be worried, okay, they did their thing, now they're not going to come. But if that somebody else has a key and you know they're going to come multiple times, so that would also be mutter. So that's a last ditch heter to give somebody a key, but that's, you know, very not to be relied on except of extenuating circumstances with the conversation with the posuk to see exactly how to do that. When it comes to doctors, so you always have the, you know, a nurse could be there, but Ramosha says that a woman could go to a male doctor, assuming that there are going to be women in the lobby. There's going to be a nurse there. There's going to be other women waiting. And if somebody's in the doctor's room for too long, they're going to wonder why is this taking so long. But says Ramosha, if the woman has an appointment and she's the last appointment, so there won't be other people waiting in the lobby. So then, and there's no one who's going to be wondering why is it taking so long. That would be aser to be the last appointment. So you always have to make sure that there are other people, you know, in the office. Doctors is a little bit more of a discussion, which we're not going to go into right now. Now, somebody, I don't remember who it was, raised the question of CCTV, some kind of security camera. Does that solve the problem of yichud? I had a shayla like this. There's a fellow who had a very small law firm, and it was him and his another lawyer and a paralegal, a very small firm, accounting firm, law firm. And they put a lot, as the BLM movement was gaining strength, there was a little bit of concern. They installed locks that the door, office door is always locked and nobody could get in. So when there was a lot of social unrest outside, and it was summer in Brooklyn, there was a lot of social unrest, they wanted to put in they installed these locks. So right at that time, he said, I have a deal that I'm working on. I have a case that I'm working on. And what should I do? I said, could you leave the door unlocked? No, we can't. I don't have the power. You know, I don't have the power to unlock the doors. It's a whole security system with an automatic lock door. So I said, do you have security cameras? He said, yeah, they can install security cameras. So I said, okay, that's not, you can install a security camera and give access to your wife to watch the cameras whenever she wants. And give it to me. I'm your rabbi. Give me access. I'll come watch you whenever I want. So I believe I spoke to Rav Schechter about this. There's room to make the Nitei Gavriel, actually Perek Mem Hey, also says that if you have security access, if you have closed circuit TV, and what you have to know is that there are two kinds of closed circuit TV. One is that it's just recorded. The other is that there are people watching it in real time. So if you have people watching in real time, then it's going to be okay. So if you know that there's a guard somewhere else, or your wife is watching, might be watching you on her cell phone, you know, 30 miles away. I'm in Far Rockaway, and my wife is in Manhattan, but then I'm in my office in Far Rockaway with a woman. But she's watching me on her cell phone. I don't know if she is or isn't. She's watching me on her cell phone. She has access to the security cameras, so that would be a heter of Pesel Pasuach L'Shus Rabim also. That's as far as Pesach Pesuch Hoshes Rabbim. The next, and I think, yes, Zaki, go ahead. Excellent escape room. Same hat. The escape room would be the same situation. Escape rooms always have a group of people watching the video. If there are a few people there, oftentimes at escape rooms, the people who are coming in could also see the. I was only in escape room once. When I went, I saw the guy behind the desk, and then I see some cameras behind them. So like it was that person watching, plus the cashier, plus me, and whoever other guests will come in. So if there are a few people, then it'll be mutter. If you know that you're the last escape room, the escape room closes at 9 p.m. You got an 8:30 appointment, so you're the last one. No one that you walk in, there's no one else there except one guy. So one guy might not help you. If he's a parutz, it's you and a parutz and your date, right? So what did we say? That's one and one is. Well, you could be makeup, but that's if only if there are three people there. It's really you and her. So it's really yichud midoraisa. It's yichud midoraisa, and one and one, we're not going to make them in a doraisa. So that would be a problem. So escape rooms, if there are a bunch of people watching, that would be fine. If there's just one guy watching, that would be problematic. So it depends on the situation. Okay, the last point I'd like to talk about tonight is a different heter, not the heter of Pesuch, but the heter of Baila Be'ir. The Gemara Kedushin, that Pei Aleph says, Baila Be'ir, Ein Choshen Mishum Yichud. We know what Baila is, but we have to figure out what Be'ir means. But before we have to figure out what Be'ir means, we have to figure out why is it Mutter? Why is Baila Be'ir a heter? So this is a big machlokas. Rashi says that Mistafi Shema Yavo. He's scared that maybe the husband, the wife is scared that maybe the husband will walk in at any time, and she doesn't, she's terrified. He might come in at any point. She's not going to get involved with anything inappropriate, not knowing when her husband's going to come in. But that's not what the Rambam writes. The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch say that the Svara to be Mekel, to the Svara to be Matir, Baila Be'ir, Mipnei She'emas Baila Aleha. And the Chazon Ish explains, Emas Baila Aleha doesn't mean that she's worried that maybe he's going to walk in at this moment. There's an emotional anxiety of doing something wrong when the husband's in the same city, whether he's going to come home or not. And even if she knows he's not coming home, there's a mental block. Emas Baila Aleha, it's a tivya sticka thing that a woman is not going to cheat. There's a mental block for her doing something wrong if he's in the same city. If he's in a different city, she feels a little bit more disconnected, removed from him, and that mental block sort of fades away. And therefore, we have a gigantic machlokas. Let's say you have a case where the husband is in the city, but the wife knows that she's not coming, that he's not coming home. I'll give you a very clear example. Let's say you live in Washington Heights, and your wife calls you from Midtown saying, "Sweetheart, I'm leaving work now. I'll be home in 45 minutes." So you know, and you see on the caller ID, it says, the office that she's calling from on 34th Street, Midtown. You know she's not coming for the next 45. I'm sorry, I said the opposite. You're at work. Your wife is home. I'm sorry. Okay, let's do that again. Your wife is home. You call her. You leave your office at 34th Street. And on her caller ID, she sees, Sullivan and Cromwell. And, my husband's calling me. And my husband's not going to be home for 45 minutes. In the next 45 minutes, she knows you're not going to be home. According to Rashi, the heter for Baila Be'ir is only, she's scared you're going to walk in. She's not scared you're going to walk in. So Yichud V'Yasu, she can't have the plumber in. She can't have the electrician in because she's not scared you're going to come here. She knows she has 45 quality minutes with this electrician or this plumber. It's going to be Yasu. However, according to the Chazon Ish and the Shulchan Aruch, as the Shulchan Aruch and Rambam write, the way the Chazon Ish explains, Emas Baila Aleha. You're in the city, she's nervous, she's anxious, she has a mental block to be involved with anything else. And if the plumber would come in, she wouldn't do anything wrong. No problem having the plumber there. She's nervous, and therefore, the Chazon Ish was making like this. Halacha Maisa, even if you know that your husband, even if the woman knows her husband's not returning or doesn't know where, when or if he's going to come back, as long as it's in the same city, she's not going to do anything wrong. So by the way, if you want to be frum, you should never tell your wife when you're coming home, because this way she'll always have the heter of Baila Be'ir. I don't mean that literally, but that's something to be concerned. Now, what's an ear? So ear, let me ask you, some of you here are from Teaneck? Let's say the husband is in Teaneck and the wife is in Bergenfield. Do you have a heter of Baila Be'ir? What about Teaneck and Englewood? So this is questions that the poskim all talk about, and there's much to discuss about all these situations. But Be'ez Hashem, we should be zochet to learn the sugyas properly, and for now we'll stop here. Yeah, go ahead, Sam. I'm happy to take your question. Anyone wants to stay, you're welcome to. Go ahead, Sam. Oh, by the way, before anyone else leaves, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow, I think we have a Chazara Shir for the whole semester. So then on Thursday, we'll have one more Shir. The reason why I do it 2 days before the end is to give people more time to review my Chazara Shir. Thursday, we'll have a Shir on Hilchas Outreach by Rabbi Mordechai Becher, a famous, well-known speaker. And the final will be Be'ez Hashem Friday morning. I might discuss with you the possibility of having... Okay, let's assume the final will be Friday morning as of now, okay? Yeah, Sam, go ahead. No. However, if you know your wife is coming home at any minute, at some point, like, your wife is supposed to come home, there are those who are meiko. That she's gonna, you know, catch you unannounced. But that's not clear. Okay, great. Have a great day. Noam, you have a question? That he's going to walk in? You're right. That's what I was thinking, the same as you. But if that's what he meant, he could have said like Rashi, which is... instead of saying Amos Bailalei, so said he's scared. Shami Yikanes. It's just easier to say it. So you could say that, but I guess the Rambam with his precision could have said that. You know. Okay. Take care. Have a great day. Bye bye.